While some listeners might be aware that ethanol is commonly blended with the gasoline they use to fill up their cars, they might be surprised to learn that well over 80% of the gasoline sold in the United States today contains about 10% ethanol, and the federal government has been subsidizing ethanol use for over 30 years. The U.S. ethanol industry, which overwhelmingly relies on domestically produced corn as a feedstock for the production of ethanol, currently enjoys three main methods of support from the federal government. First, federal law, the Renewable Fuel Standard, mandates that specific volumes of renewable fuels, such as ethanol, be made available for sale in the U.S. Second, we have a so-called blender's credit that provides fuel refiners with a federal tax credit of 45 cents for every gallon of ethanol that they blend with gasoline. And third, the government imposes a tariff of 54 cents per gallon on ethanol that is imported into the country in an effort to keep the blender's credit from incentivizing the use of foreign-derived ethanol, such as the less expensive ethanol produced in Brazil from sugarcane. These ethanol subsidies have garnered widespread political support by being able to appeal to multiple voting demographics. A shift towards the use of biofuels not only appeals to environmentally minded voters concerned with the negative effects of burning fossil fuels, but also to rural voters who might enjoy a significant economic benefit from biofuel production. Since biofuels can be produced domestically, they can increase American energy independence, a notion that appeals to almost all voting demographics. Nonetheless, given the fact that current ethanol subsidies cost the government roughly $6 billion in foregone tax revenue each year, they have recently come under attack in efforts to balance the federal budget. As a result, a bipartisan group of senators, including both supporters and opponents of corn ethanol, announced that they have reached an agreement on restructuring the federal government's support for ethanol. At the center of the agreement is the repeal of both the 45 cent per gallon blender credit and the 54 cent per gallon import tariff. Now, while this may seem like quite a concession by congressional supporters of ethanol, there are some significant gains as well. First, the agreement includes a proposal to extend through 2014 a tax credit for the installation of ethanol-compatible fuel pumps that are currently set to expire this year. Additionally, small producers of ethanol benefit from a one-year extension of a 7 cents per gallon tax credit they receive for the first 15 million gallons of ethanol that they produce each year. Most importantly, the agreement also includes a proposal for a four-year extension of an existing $1.01 per gallon tax credit for the production of cellulosic biofuels. These biofuels are derived from superior feedstocks and promise to deliver greater environmental benefits compared to corn ethanol. Ultimately, if this agreement is enacted into law, there is not likely to be many negative repercussions for the U.S. ethanol industry. While oil refiners will no longer receive a tax credit for blending ethanol, other federal regulations will continue to mandate that they do so. The federal government will save billions of dollars per year, but it will continue to incentivize the development of new and better cellulosic biofuels. The real winner, however, might be the Brazilian ethanol industry. With the removal of the import tariff on foreign-produced ethanol, American oil refiners are likely to satisfy their legally mandated biofuel volume obligations by importing the less costly sugarcane ethanol produced in Brazil. I'm Jay Kaysen.